In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So this morning, I find myself preparing to give a sermon in which I have to give a warning beforehand. Some of you may find today's sermon uncomfortable. That is not my intention. I want you to listen to my words very carefully. And if you have questions or issues, please, please see me after the service. You'll understand why I said this to begin with. One of the things that really caught my eye in today's readings, to me, is the keystone of the three that we have. And that's the letter to the Philippians. And I want you to take a look at what Paul said. So if you have this out, go ahead and look at it again. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. To me, that whole statement there is the key. We see it again in Mary. The same thing that happens to Paul happens to Mary, causing her to act a certain way to Christ. So let me bring this into context, and this is the part that's going to make you uncomfortable. So there's going to be a couple caveats throughout. But as I began to think about this, I thought the best way to do this is actually a conversation that I had when I first came to the diocese at a clergy retreat. Unfortunately, the first clergy retreat was just after one of our very violent school shootings. And Bishop Little had asked the question of all the clergy there. And it had to do, just what we thought about it. Of course, most people talk about gun control, and this is where it makes people uncomfortable. So let me be absolutely clear. I do not care which side of the argument for gun control you stand on. I do not care what you think about guns. I don't. That is a choice you have to make. But there is a valid point within this context. This is not me saying we shouldn't have conversations about this. This is not me siding with one side or the other. This is the point that Paul makes. I know human nature. To those people that are willing to use weapons in violent acts, if you are to take those guns away, they will use knives. If you take knives away, they will use their bare hands or rocks or bats. Literally anything can be made into a weapon to do violence. What is Paul talking about when he talks about his letter? He even admits that he went after the church, was a persecutor of the church. What he actually is saying is, yes, I'm that guy that hunted you down and killed you. That is, in fact, what Paul did. He had a writ from the Pharisees in order to do just that. That's what he set out to do on the road to Damascus. That's what he was going to do when he had his conversion. gun control and violence is not the point of this sermon. What is the point of this sermon is what happened during that conversion. Because at that point, we know Paul to be very, very different. Paul had a change of life. More importantly, Paul had a change of heart. It caused him to not only not be violent to other Christians, but to not be violent in general. Do you understand that? Paul's change of life, Paul's experience with the risen Christ is what made the difference. We forget that. Should we talk about violence? Yep. Should we talk about ways to curtail it? Yep. Should we talk about making things better? Yep. All of that needs to be done within the context of, if a person's heart is not changed, it does not matter. Do you know who a lock on the door keeps out? We have locks on the door. We lock our houses at night. Do you know who that keeps out?
Some Jehovah's Witnesses.
On a good day, yes. It keeps out the person that acknowledges that the people inside want to be safe, right? If somebody wants into your house, they don't care if a lock is on the door or not. They're going to go through it. If somebody likes the radio in your car and your car is locked, what do? Does that keep them out? No, they break the window. They climb in and they get it. That is what their heart is telling them to do. Laws protect those who abide by the law. If you don't abide by the law, it doesn't make any difference what the law says, does it? It says 55 miles an hour. Actually, down here in Chesterton, it says 50 miles an hour. Who did 50 miles an hour on the way into church today? That's the point, right? It is the change of our heart that causes us to act correctly. We begin not acting upon our desires, not acting upon those things that we wish to do by any means necessary, and begin to follow Christ. That's what Paul did. Paul, who followed all of the Jewish law, and still did rather heinous things. Paul, who was, in essence, the top of his class for his people, who still did heinous things. His heart was changed. He became both something more and something less. He acted differently because of his experience with Christ. Wanting to make things better is a very good and noble thing. But you can never force someone to change. You have to show them. They have to have that experience that changes them. Mary, one of the many Marys that we read about in Scripture, you know, obviously not Mary Magdalene, or Mary, Mother of God. Probably Mary Magdalene. Probably. Mary Magdalene was a creature of the night, shall we say. Had a very adult job, would be another way of putting it. And yet, her heart was changed so much that she goes out and buys expensive perfume, dumps it upon the feet of her Lord, the man who not only saved her, but changed her, and dried them with her hair. What do you suppose the Pharisees actually say about that when you're going to wipe somebody off with your hair, especially their feet? They would call you unclean. You would not be allowed into the house, let alone at a table to eat with them. But Christ makes the very point of what she is doing is not bad because of what she has become. It didn't go to the poor, the money that she would have spent on the perfume. It went to something more because of the change of heart. That is Lent for us. We are supposed to have those experiences of changes of hearts. We also need to understand that hearts are not going to be changed necessarily in an instant, such as Paul's was, but are in fact changed by degrees. We have to be better. We have to do better. We have to live out what we believe. But make no mistake, it is not always the law of the land that needs to be changed, but the hearts of the people that live in it. Human nature is actually, in reality, a violent, destructive thing. It is only when something outside of ourselves comes in to change us that we become better. It is, in fact, the reason of the story that I've told you multiple times, where the young Jewish boy asked his father, "Father, why do we wear scripture over our heart?" Do you remember his response? "Because, my son, the heart is a very hard and callous thing. We wear scripture over our heart so that when our heart breaks, the word of God might seep in." The word of God might seep in. The very act of that happening changes our hearts, makes us both more and less, just as it did Paul. Changes us at a fundamental level. May your heart be changed this Lent.